today is New Year's Eve. That means that tomorrow starts a new year. Amen? 2007. Oh, glory. Get ready. Get ready. I believe that there's going to be a mighty things happening in 2007. Isn't it pretty wild that we ended this year with the hanging of Saddam Hussein? Devil, let this be a sign to you, because we're coming after you. Hallelujah. We're coming after you, devil. We ended this year. That's a mighty sign. That is a mighty sign. You know, the powers of darkness are trying to release fear. But God just imparted fear when that man hung. He imparted fear of the power of God Almighty. Those people cried out in Iraq for help. Their own people couldn't help them. Their God that they worship couldn't help them. So the Lord sent a bunch of Christians over there. Hello. He sent a bunch of Christians over there and hung Hussein insane. Amen. We prayed for him yesterday. We asked the Lord to visit him so he'd bring him home safely. I don't know if he answered that prayer or not. But I wouldn't want to be in that man's shoes. Prideful all the way to the end. All the way to the end. But that was a sign to the world. It was a sign to the body of Christ, a realization and a revelation of what's about to happen. The man represented the Antichrist, not the person, but the spirit of Antichrist. Because his purpose was to come against the anointing of God and the truth that sets people free. To bring people in bondage. You know, God sent us over to Iraq to establish a military so that we have access to every area in that region. Satan is trembling. He's afraid of you. We went into an area where his throne is at and pulled down one of his principalities. Now we are strategically positioned there. I personally don't believe we'll ever leave there. I think we're supposed to be there, and I believe that we're supposed to set up a military base there to have access in every area in that region. And it's a real sign of the end times of what's happening. You know, the number 7 means complete and perfect. And we are now entering 2007. And in this time, I really believe it's called. I asked the Lord this morning, I said, Lord, what do you have for your people about the year of 2007? He said to me, it's a year of the potter's wheel. I said, woohoo. He said, it's the year of the potter's wheel. I said, okay. In other words, as that wheel spins, whatever needs to be released will be let go, and whatever stays on will be held on and be firm to the end. Would you turn to Jeremiah 18 with me? It is the year of the potter's wheel. Oh, glory. Jeremiah 18. Whew. Is it warm in here, or is it you? Hallelujah. Jeremiah 18 and verse 1. If everybody is there, please. Would you read it with me? And the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. I want you to understand something. There's going to be, you know, and don't misunderstand this, because the Bible says that the Spirit leads us, but I'm telling you, he's bringing us into a place where he's going to drive us. The Bible says that Jesus was driven into the wilderness. Amen? The Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted. You know that you're either Going in, you're in, or you're coming out of the wilderness. Hello. And this is going to be a year where the Holy Spirit is going to drive us. In other words, it's going to be a time where he's going to cause us, because he's going to compel us into certain areas which need to be done. It's going to be a year of completion, where the things that God has asked you to complete so that you can go to the next level. And I will cause you to hear my words. You're here today because he's causing you to hear his words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. Now the wheel represents the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You can read in the book of Ezekiel where it says the wheels within the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make. Who's the potter? Amen. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in mine, O house of Israel. Now I want you to look at yourself as the house of Israel, because you are the clay that's in the potter's hands. You know, so many people run off of the clay, off the potter, off the wheel, which is the Spirit. You know, and in the Spirit, he begins to mold, he begins to expose, he begins to do all kinds of things with us. And there's a tendency to want to run from looking at self. There's a tendency that says, listen, I just don't want to hear this stuff because I still am in love with the world. The purpose that they went to the potter's wheel was to remove the world from them so that the eternal realm could be manifested in them. Is everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter? Says the Lord, look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. And verse 7, the instant I speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom, to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. And the instant I speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom, to build and to plant it, if it does evil in my sight so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good with which I said I would benefit it. Now therefore speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, behold, I am fashioning a disaster and devising a plan against you. Return now everyone from his evil way and make your ways and your doings good. God is remolding. He is perfecting of the body of Christ right now. Remember we shared before that before the Lord personally comes, he must come in the Spirit. The body of Christ will have a tremendous revival, but then there's going to be a lot of exposure, isn't there? And I really believe that this year is going to be the beginning of a tremendous outpouring. Tremendous. We've already seen signs of it already. There's already things beginning to happen. God is drawing his people from all over to come and fulfill what they were supposed to fulfill. Amen. There's going to be also a warning to nations, which is happening right now. The Bible says those who come against Israel will be destroyed. The United States and Israel are like brother and sister. Amen. Israel represents the law, and the United States represents the Spirit. In the area where the law was given, in the old covenant, and then there was the new covenant, which was the move of the Spirit. That's why you have the Statue of Liberty representing the where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Freedom. Amen. The Bible even talks about that everything from the Jews would be handed over to the Gentiles to finish and fulfill what God had planned and displaying the gospel and telling the truth to the world. But then it will be turned back over to the Jews. And it will be turned over to the Jews when you and I are taken out of here. Oh, hallelujah. So there is a warning to nations. There's a remolding. There's a perfecting. And there's an awakening to those who are asleep. Spiritually asleep. not dead. Spiritually asleep. Those who struggle with fulfilling what God wants them to do. There'll be an awakening. And an awakening is going to be affected by two things. Fear. Fear of man and fear of God. Hello. One will be reverence and one will be fear what will happen to them. Two areas. You know, things seem to be motivated by fear many times. Because people are rejecting love, so fear is what God allows to happen to motivate them. There will be a tremendous move of the Holy Spirit to tear down, build, and perfect. And that's what you see right now, what we're talking about in the potter's house, on the potter's wheel. The wheel represents the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and God is going to bring his body through in a tremendous move that's going to be quick. I mean, look at it's 2007 already. Man, I just remember when it hit 2000. I haven't even caught up yet. Thank God. I don't have to. Just getting ready to get caught up. Amen? Religiosity will be a tradition that will have to be broke. It'll be broke. In this area of the potter's wheel, the Bible tells us that the letter kills, but the Spirit brings life. 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 It's not going to be how much you know, it's going to be who you know. Amen? It's going to be how obedient you are to the voice of God. These things are going to assist in fulfilling your destiny that God has predestined for you. Go to Jeremiah 7 while we're here. Oh, hallelujah. The year of the potter's wheel, glory to God. In verse 3, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will what? Cause you to dwell in this place. So he's saying, listen, I'm going to cause you to hear my voice, and I'm going to cause you to dwell in the place that I've put you. Ooh. Do not trust in these lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you do not oppress the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, or walk after other gods to your hurt, then I will what? Cause you to dwell in this place, and the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense to Baal, and walk after other gods whom you do not know? And then come and stand before me in this house which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. Ooh. Has this house which is called by my name become a den of thieves in your eyes? Behold, I, even I, have seen it, says the Lord. He's going to expose, remove, and rebuild. There's going to be an area where what we thought was a slight conviction is going to be a tremendous conviction. There's going to be areas where you're going to be taken on to the cutting edge, and decisions are going to have to be made in who you are really serving. God is asking us to give up everything for Him. No matter what it is. Everything. The Bible talks about worshiping other gods and burning incense before Baal. That means that expressing your gratefulness towards other things besides God. It means worshiping material things. You know, too many people worship the blessing instead of the blesser. God blesses us to help assist in the promotion of the kingdom of God. The purpose of the blessing is to add, to assist, to build, and to expand God's kingdom. Not to just live luxuriously. That's not what it's about. Too many people are lovers of money rather than lovers of God. And that is going to be exposed tremendously, because the Bible says anyone who's a lover of money, all kinds of evil will be there. The only reason why people live some is because of money. And they believe that money is their full support to their families and everything else. And they lose sight that it's God who supports and supplies. There are those who will come to a place, well, what was their complete support will fail them. And God will allow certain things to happen so that people will come back to Him in the fullness and the assurance that He is the provider, He is the deliverer, and He is the healer. All go to Ezekiel 36. Get ready for the great shaking. Praise you, Lord. Verse 22. Ezekiel 36, 22. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed where? In you before their eyes. For I'll take you from among the nations, gather you out of the countries, and bring you into your own land. And I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart, and I'll put a new spirit within you. And I'll take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and what? Cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in a land that I gave to your forefathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will deliver you from all of your uncleanliness. I will call for the grain and multiply and bring no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of your trees and increase of your fields, so that you need never again bear the reproach of famine among the nations. We see that there's going to be an increase of the anointing. We'll be driven by the Spirit in a great way. The only thing that your desire will be is to want to be in God's presence. There's going to be such a desire for God's presence, because it's in His presence where prosperity is, where blessing is, where the true blessings are, not self-imposed blessings, but the blessings that come from God. There are many people out there working hard, promoting self-imposed blessings. And that's all it does, is bring them into bondage, because they're afraid of losing what they bless themselves with. But it is coming. We're on the potter's wheel. That which is not of God, it is not nailed down according to the anointing, will be swooped away. Swooped away, because those things are in place of God's presence. And anything in place in God's presence will be removed if you're truly claiming to be His child and willing to do whatever it takes. Because when you say, I'm willing to do whatever it takes, that takes humbleness. Pride will be exposed. God will reject the proud and give grace to the humble. And He will give what? Grace to the humble. Oh, hallelujah. There'll be an increase of the anointing. See, what happens is before God increases His anointing, He always warns. The Bible says that the Spirit tells us things to come. So God is warning His body. He's telling them ahead of time, listen, get ready. Because as my glory and my anointing comes forth more, more things are going to be exposed. Don't miss the visitation of the Lord. Go to Titus in chapter 3. Oh, hallelujah. How many of y'all know all things are supposed to get worse? Amen. But they're supposed to get better for me and you, aren't they? Amen. Oh, hallelujah. And they will get better. The Bible says that His children are not destined for the wrath of God, but for the blessings of God. And it's only in His presence where that can manifest. You can play religion all you want. You can go to church once a month, or just on Easter and Christmas. You can pretend you're holy as hell. Oh. Yeah, man, he's holy as hell. Yeah, right. Oh, hallelujah. Titus 3 and verse 1. Oh, to God be the glory. Would you read it with me? Remind them to what? Be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humble humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing and regeneration and renewing of the what? Holy Spirit. That's the potter's wheel. Whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to what? Affirm. Everyone say affirm. Affirm. Say it again, affirm. I want you to affirm these things constantly. In other words, don't forget. That those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. Uh-oh. To be careful to what? Maintain good works. Oh. It's amazing how people will be okay one day and the next day they'll be all... Phew. These things are good and profitable to men. One of the important things in this period of time, the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to bring your relationship in spirit with God Almighty, because He is spirit, isn't He? Amen. Without the anointing of God in your life, it's difficult to have that relationship. Isn't it? People have a relationship with knowledge instead of the person. They go, I'm going to go spend some time with God, and they go read the Bible the whole time. Instead of really spending time with God. Hello. See, the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. That means He was a person. Hello? I don't run to the Bible to find my answers. I run to my Father. Then He tells me where to go to confirm. Amen. I have a relationship with my Father. You know, if you think about it, that's what Jesus' purpose was. He came down and He said, listen, no one comes to me. No one comes to the Father except for what? Through me. Amen. His whole purpose was so that you and I would have an example of a relationship with a Father. With a Father. You know, one morning I was, after I had my encounter with the Lord, and I went into this church to pray, and I was at a prayer meeting, and the first words out of my mouth was, Daddy. And this was right after my encounter with the Lord. And I said, Dad. And the pastor looked at me and said, that's how relationship is. Dad. Because see, He's my dad. He's my Father. He's my provider. He's my everything. He's my friend. A relationship is through the anointing. Too many people have a relationship with the letter and they think they know God. It's the anointing that came into the world. The Word became flesh to carry the anointing. Amen. It's the anointing of God that is the most important thing in your life. Because that anointing brings you relationship. Hello? Oh, hallelujah. There's a regeneration of the Holy Spirit which is going to manifest His character in you. You will stand out more. People are going to recognize. Remember when the apostles came out and people said, hey, look at those guys were with Jesus. Whoa. Why? Because there was the anointing. Remember, the Father acknowledges the blood. The demons see the anointing. Oh, hallelujah. The Father does what? Acknowledges the blood, and the demons see the anointing. You will stand out, especially in a time of distress and trouble. You will stand out more. People begin to call you. Man, what's up? What's going on? Because they're going to know that you carry the anointing. Why? Because the anointing is a representation of the Spirit of truth. They're going to not just know that, oh, he knows or she knows the Word of God. They know Jesus. They know the Father. There's a difference. Go to Ephesians 5. No, don't go there yet. Go to Psalm 119. Is everybody okay? Oh, are you ready? Praise God. Psalm 119. In verse 33. In this outpouring, in the year of the potter's wheel, certain things are going to be caused in our life. David had a powerful revelation after he had been touched by God. In verse 33, he said something. The first words was, teach me. It was causing him. He said, man, cause me, whatever it takes. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me, come on, read this with me. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me or cause me to walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. Establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. Turn away my reproach which I dread, for your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. There will be a new desire that will be imparted in us. Ephesians 5. The Bible says, those who thirst and hunger for His righteousness shall be filled. God will begin to remove and expose the lukewarm and make you hot. He will cause you to become hot because only fire is going to allow you to go through what's going to happen. Oh, hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 5. Whew. There's going to be a tremendous, tremendous outpouring of boldness. Yesterday I spent some time with my wife away for the weekend, and my other daughter was called and said she wanted to come up today sometime. And I was just led. I wanted to get something for my daughter. So I said to my wife, I'm going to the mall. She kind of almost fainted. You're going to the mall? I said, yeah, I don't know. You know, I'm just led to do, you know, whatever. So I walked in the mall, just dilly-dallying around, and I said, oh. I mean, it was a whole new world. Did you ever go to the mall? Man, that's a whole other planet into the mall. I'm telling you what. There's every kind of creature you can imagine in that mall. I think I saw every demon from hell in there hanging around. They're all congregating and stuff. And it was rough. Now I know where they hang out. And I went up to this. They were selling little candy things or something. I don't know. And I walked up there and I was looking. And I noticed this young kid behind the counter. And he had a, what do you call that? Satanic pentagram. And I started shaking. And I grabbed that kid and pulled him over the counter almost. And I said to him, you know what you're wearing? He says, yeah. I said, why? He said, well, it just seemed the thing to do. I said, well, it's not the thing to do. I said, that's an accursed item. Are you a servant of Satan? I'm thinking, what's going over me, man? I mean, I was about to rip this kid from over the counter and lay him down and cast out devils. I was shaken. I was so angry at Satan. And I shared with him. I said, you know, I used to serve that demon too. I said, you know, who you serve when you die is where you go. Is you want to burn in hell for the rest of your life? And this kid was like looking at me. I'm shaking. He probably thought I was a nut. And he said, no. I just want to get that off. Make sure you take that off. I shared with him. I said, 13 years ago, I had an encounter with the Lord. I was a servant of Satan for a long time, but now I serve the Most High God. And I'm telling you, you got a message from the Lord. Man, I felt like one of those old-time prophets, you know. You know, those Old Testament prophets coming out. I should have had the woolly hair, you know. Should have pulled out a bunch of a locust out of my pocket. Yo! So I said, will you take it off? He said, yes. I said, what's your name? He said, Joseph. I said, I'm going to pray for you. And I left. I was shaking and my wife's going, honey, you all right? I said, oh. Get me out of the mall quick! Before I kill somebody! Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, there was such boldness all over me. I was like, now I started looking around, I'm like, man, what's next, Dad? So I wanted to get my daughter blessed with a pair of earrings. I'm not an individual that goes out and buys jewelry, but I was led to. So I look at this one. My wife says, well, let's go into this place. I said, okay. And we went in there, and the guy wanted $140. I said, no. And my wife's sitting there talking. I said, come on. Because I knew my daddy said $80. And we went to the other place. The guy wanted $120. No. Come on. And I found and this guy... these pair of earrings that were beautiful, I said, that's them. 119. Nope! That's them, though. I don't know where. And my wife says, oh, let's go to Dillard's. I said, okay. And we went into Dillard's. And there was the same pair of earrings, identical, $79.99. And I said, praise be to God. The woman looked at me from behind the counter. I said, that's my daddy. And she looked at me. She said, I don't hear too much of that. I said, well, let me tell you about Jesus. Another one I want to pull over the counter. I looked at my wife. You better get me out of here soon. There was boldness. I got home back to the hotel. I was still shaking. I'm like, oh, I can't. This is crazy. And the Lord put on my heart, that's what's coming. He said, that's what's coming. There's going to be such boldness. I'm going to give my children such boldness. They're not going to be concerned about man's feelings. They're going to be concerned about my feelings. Oh, hallelujah. They're going to stop becoming men pleasers and become God pleasers because they know that the desire that's in them, these people are headed to hell and they're your brothers and they're your sisters and it's your responsibility to rescue them. He did it for us. Now it's our responsibility to do it for Him. Oh, hallelujah. Whew. Did we finish that scripture yet? Glory. I prayed for that guy this morning. His name is Joseph. So add him to your prayer list. He's on my hit list. You're done, dude. You're done. That's over with. You become my brother whether you like it or not. Glory to God. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. Whew. Verse 8, is everybody there? For you were once what? Darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what? Expose them. I'm telling you that there's going to be a year of exposure in a great way. For it is shameful to even speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools or boneheads, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the what? Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear or reverence of God. Great awakening. There's going to be a remembrance of how God has taken you from darkness and brought you to light. Others will see. Others will see. And it will quicken them. They're going to see the boldness. They're going to see the light. They're going to see what's going on. They're going to see that you're not compromising. When everybody's fellowshipping in the family and everybody runs at a TV to turn on some... Amen. Demonic station. And you walk away. When they begin to tell dirty jokes and you walk away. And you don't laugh at them because you want to keep yourself clean. They're going to say, what's up? The only thing they're going to look at you at first, the devil's going to say, look at that self-righteous thing. No, that's called righteousness, not self-righteousness. The righteousness that comes from God, not from anything that you've done. Amen? Others will see and they will become awakened. James chapter 1. Oh, hallelujah. They're going to want to know why you're not running with them anymore. Come on, you remember that joke? You used to laugh at it all the time. That ain't me. I'm brand new. I'm new. I'm new. Hallelujah. Everybody say, I'm new. In James chapter 1 and verse 2, would you read it with me, please? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. You're going to fall into them. You're supposed to. You've got to. Why? So the Lord can be exposed and darkness can be exposed. How are you going to know who your king is unless you fall into various trials? Listen, you live in a fallen world, you're going to fall into trials, man, every day. But there's something, he says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? Patience. Patience is also endurance. It's going to be a season that you're going to have to really endure. But let patience have its what? Perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Why? Because if you're allowing God to bring you through, you're totally trusting Him. You're totally surrendering Him. You're giving everything to Him. You are enduring. You're not going to be swayed to the right or left or anything to the world. Let me tell you, your business decisions are not going to be made according to the carnal reasoning. It's going to be made to the Spirit of the living God, where the mind of Christ is going to say, listen, you're different than them. I want to take your business. I want to take your life. I want to take your marriage. I want to take your children out of the world. I want to take them out of the world so that everything that is done, decisions, is done by the Spirit, not by carnality of man's understanding. He says, listen, when you endure, you won't lack anything if you endure. He said, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Lacking nothing. Why? Because you know He's going to make a way when it seems to be no way. The world will tell you that's impossible. And I went to 4 or 5 jewelry stores yesterday. And every one of them wanted to sell me something that was not according to what the Lord told me. No more than $80. And we had to endure. I had to go to another store. Oh, man. I was ready to just say, forget it, I'm out of here. The Lord said, no, endure. Go through. Let me take you. And then He brought me to the place at $79.99. That's of my dad. And I wasn't lacking anything. He says, if any of you lacks wisdom, which tells you what to do, amen, the Spirit of wisdom will tell you what to do. Let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, for he is double-minded, unstable in all of his ways. God wants to bring us to a place where there is stability. Patience, where you're willing to allow patience to have its perfect work. Amen? That means enduring. And when the flood is coming, you're holding on strong. You're not sinking like everybody else is sinking, running around like a chicken with its head cut off in fear. What am I going to do? How am I going to do it? When? Where? What? Did you ever drive, you know, and you'd be driving, going on vacation, and the kids are in the back seat? Oh, hallelujah. That's called endurance. Are we there yet? I'm hungry. I have to go to the bathroom. Right? All the way. It's called endurance. Patience will have its perfect work. Go to Hebrews 10. Oh, is everybody all right? Glory to God. Hebrews chapter 10. Thank you, Lord. In verse 35, therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Amen. In other words, we need for endurance, not to draw back. Amen. In fact, it will disgust you to even think about drawing back. It will disgust you. You'll say, no, I don't want to have anything to do with that. Go to Revelation 2. Hallelujah. In chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 2. The Lord says, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and you have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my namesake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, this I have against you, that you have left your what? First love. First love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works. In other words, go complete what I've asked you to do. Or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And to him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. What's he saying? There's going to be a desire to complete the first works. There's going to be an area where there will be repentance of losing your first love. Amen. God impressed certain things for us to do. For what? To change the world. To reach the lost. But we know that there is a price to pay, because God trains us up so that we can fulfill his will and a call in our life. That's why it's a year of the potter's wheel. Welcome to the training ground. Hallelujah. Go to Psalm 40. Oh, it's good to hear the pages turn in on a Sunday. Psalm 40. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Master. Is everybody there? Verse 1. Everyone say it. I waited what? Patiently for the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. I love that word, patiently, don't you? And he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of the horrible pit and out of miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. Glory to God. It all started with a cry. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will what? See it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Many are going to see. See, because God took the foolish thing. Me, you. And turns it into something as an expression of himself. Many will see it and fear God. And as it increases, and you endure more, and you stay on that potter's wheel and become molded more in his likeness, in his image, many are going to see. Never be complacent in the area of change. Hello. Never be complacent in the area of change. You want to change more. and more and more. Never become complacent. Amen. It says, blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts towards us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than could be numbered. His love for me and you is unreachable to us. It's uncomprehendable. Amen. We have such a hard time sometimes to accept God's love. And that's called the power of choice. He said he gave his son because he loved us so much. In Romans 8. Oh, we bless you, Lord. It's a new season. It's a new day. Fresh anointing. It's coming our way. It's here already. Romans 8 and verse 18. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in who? Us. Yes, it's a year. For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Even God's creation is waiting for you. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. That's you. For you know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves grown within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. So we see here that this need of endurance, hello, this need in this place for endurance, is there's a desire to not only complete the first things, amen, but there is a whole new arena of change within us where we become the first fruits. Many of us are first fruits of our family. Hello? Many of us are first fruits where the area of the anointing of God. I mean, many of us have had families that have been quite religious. Hello? Yeah, they went to church. They paid tithes occasionally. Then they'd sit back and send you to church. You go to church. I got football games to watch today. Real examples. But there is a place where God is bringing us up. There is a place where the traditions and religiosity are no longer affecting us, but we are becoming first fruits of God's character. Amen. Others will see. Go to James 1:18. Oh, we're hitting a place and an area in the Spirit. James 1:18. Sam, the first fruits. Oh, glory to God. In James 1:18 it says, of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth that we might be a kind of what? First fruits of his creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with the meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be what? Doers. Oh, I'm telling you, it's a season of doer. And not hearers only. Deceiving yourselves. You get to talk to a lot of people and think, yeah, do you hear? Yeah, I got it. Yeah, I got it. And they walk away and they didn't hear a word you said, man. It says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If any among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. 1 Corinthians 15. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody okay? 2007. Verse 20. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Matthew 11, please. We know that the Lord, the Bible says that the Lord restored the earth. And on the seventh day he rested, didn't he? Hallelujah. It means he's turned it over to us. Glory to God. Okay, kids, take over. Matthew 11. Is everybody there? Verse 25. Matthew 11, 25. And at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Aren't you glad you're a baby? Even so, Father, for it has seemed good in your sight, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. And he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There's going to be a place in this new season where we're walking where there's going to be such trust that there's going to be rest. You're going to rest from dead works. Oh, isn't that wonderful? We're going to rest from dead works. Go to Mark 16. Now, you got to remember, you're going to rest from dead works if you're in the spirit. If you're in the flesh, you're a dead work anyway. And Mark 16. Would you read it with me? And he who believes and is what? Baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. What's the word believe mean? Follow. And these signs will follow those who follow. In my name they will what? Cast out devils. I'm telling you, there's going to be more devils cast out in 2007. In my name they will cast out devils and they will speak with new tongues. There are going to be a lot of people getting baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. Foolishness of religion will begin to melt away. And the anointing and the power of the Christ will begin to manifest through his body. those that were bound by religion for such a long time, thinking that they were saved, are going to come under the anointing. They're going to come under the anointing because they're going to realize that their knowledge can't rescue them, but only the presence of God. And it says, and they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Oh, to God be the glory. That's the kingdom of God being manifested. Amen. Signs. Boldness will erupt. Boldness will erupt. Everyone say, boldness,
boldness
will erupt in me. I will lay hands on the sick. I will cast out devils. I'll go wherever the Lord wants me to go. Because I'll be dressed with the anointing. Enduring to the end. Hallelujah. Well, you made the confession, so get ready. And I want to close at Joel chapter 2. We'll go to Joel's place for a minute here. In verse 28, Joel 2. It's a new season. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Glory to God. Oh, it's happening. It is happening all over the world. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and young men shall see visions. Man, I'm glad I still see visions. Hallelujah. I won't tell you about the dreams, but I'll tell you about the visions. Praise God. No. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, and blood and fire and pillars of smoke. Then the sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion, which is the church, and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance. That's why God is bringing his body and through deliverance right now. As the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. Everyone say, the Lord has called me to fulfill his will, to position me, to where it's no longer I that live, but he that lives through the anointing and the price he paid for me, that I may go forth and declare the kingdom of God in truth, spirit, and in power in Jesus' name. We are entering a new dimension, a place of endurance. Time is running out, people. Time is running out. We are seeing a great change and a great shift. We are getting ready for a new transition in government in the United States. It's there to fulfill prophecy. We are watching prophecy being fulfilled almost on a daily basis. Time is running out. Get ready. You must make a commitment to God the Father that you're willing to do whatever it takes. No matter what, you're willing to do whatever it takes. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word this morning, Lord, and we repent for every area that we have compromised. Lord, we repent for any idols in our life where we've put trust in our own health, in our own finances, in our own strength, and our own knowledge, Lord. Lord, we take this opportunity and we ask for your forgiveness, Lord, of running instead of not enduring. Lord, we ask for more of your anointing according to your word, that you would pour out your Spirit in a great and mighty way. You said that we would do the works that you did. Lord, help us. Prepare us for this new year. For this is the seventh year of the new millennium. Grant us the wisdom and knowledge and understanding to complete those things that you've asked us to. Then we may go forward in the power and the anointing of your Holy Spirit. And prepare our hearts for communion, Lord. Forgive us for touching unclean things. We repent for the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and pride of life. We repent for every disobedience and every vow that we've made that we never completed. Every promise. Lord, we repent for getting entanglement with soul ties where we have no right to be. We repent for going to places we shouldn't. And we repent for allowing our eyes to see things they shouldn't, or our ears to hear things they shouldn't. Lord, we repent for not taking authority in boldness and being a weenie. Lord, we ask for your boldness to stand strong, to walk in your truth, and to declare your righteousness in power. Lord, we commit everything to you as we prepare our hearts for communion this morning, and we celebrate your victory. In Jesus' name.